One of WA's most popular tourist attractions is under threat, but it hasn't stopped WA conservation group Protect Ningaloo from fighting the good fight. This group is no stranger in the fight to protect the reef and have been building community pressure for the past 2 years to save it for the third time. Protect Ningaloo director Paul Gamblin has worked tirelessly with the group and welcomes the recent announcements from the WA government in halting projects that would damage the reef and Exmouth Gulf area. I'm joined by Paul this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Taylor.
There were two announcements made last month by the Environment Minister, Paul, surrounding the proposals for the Ningaloo Reef and the Exmouth Gulf area. Can you walk us through a little bit in detail about what these announcements were?
Sure, yeah. It was a very big few weeks for Ningaloo and Exmouth Gulf. Huge areas, actually, of the marine environment off Ningaloo and also Shark Bay and the Abrolhos Islands were nominated by the federal government for potential oil and gas exploration. And the community responded very strongly, indicating its great concerns about that. And we were able to focus that community response towards the government. And we were very relieved and pleased that the government removed all of those areas from this year's acreage release. So we've bought, I guess, a year and hopefully more, much more than that, of time where those incredibly fragile and important areas off Ningaloo Reef itself and Shark Bay won't be opened to oil and gas exploration and potential production.
Which is fantastic, but it is, like we said, not concrete, not permanent. It's just bought us a little bit of extra time. How many times in the past have we faced similar threats in sort of oil and gas exploration in those areas?
Well, the areas that were nominated this time were much bigger than anything we'd seen before. Oil and gas is getting closer and closer in the northern parts of Ningaloo and off Exmouth Gulf, but this was the first time we'd seen such enormous areas off the western side of the reef itself. And it was as close as the rot nest, the Cottesloe rot nest swim from the whole World Heritage Area in one area. So it was very close and put the whole area at risk from blowouts or oil spills and also from seismic activity. So it was unprecedented in its scale, this nomination, and it was really important for the community to stand up. And we were so pleased that people did. In a relatively short period of time, we were able to get more than 30,000 letters off to the federal government around that. That was really good, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, go on, Paul.
I was just going to say that the second piece of news that you alluded to was really important as well, because the focus of the campaign is to protect Exmouth Gulf from industrialisation and a massive oil and gas pipeline fabrication facility and towing operation is proposed for a really intact, beautiful part of Exmouth Gulf. And we've been putting the case that is just not the appropriate kind of project for that area, and it shouldn't be undertaken. And we were waiting for the EPA's recommendation, and just as that was about to arrive, the state government, Deputy Minister Stephen Dawson, and indicated that they were going to put that project assessment on hold. And would instruct the EPA to undertake a broad assessment of the values and the potential cumulative impacts from other projects in the Gulf. So that wasn't quite the emphatic rejection of the project that we want to see, but it was a very important step in the right direction to really examining the incredible values of Exmouth Gulf.
Sure, a minor victory for now, which is something still to congratulate yourselves and the rest of the community on. It's really interesting to me that there is such a fascination and a dedication to these companies that want to dig up and explore this part of our coastline. You mentioned there about the Cottesloe and Rottnest sort of area where people are swimming, and maybe, like, you know, if we start exploring and open ourselves up to potential of gas and oil spills there, that's going to affect our beaches, it's going to affect our livelihood, not to mention the environmental implications it'll have as well.
That's right, and I think increasingly people have fallen in love with Ningaloo, and increasingly people understand how special Exmouth Gulf is and the many creatures that it hosts really depend on its environmental values for their survival. You know, dugongs and turtles and critically endangered swordfish, whales, dolphins. I mean, it's an incredibly important place, one of the few places left in the world, and it's in that condition, and it's in our state. I mean, it's really so special that we have these areas and in our proximity that people can visit and really enjoy. And that's why I think we're seeing such a strong reaction from the community, just saying, let's look after these places for future generations. Heavy industry should be limited to the Pilbara. We need to draw a line between the Pilbara and Ningaloo and Exmouth Gulf and say no more, and look after the place. And it will generate, as you say, returns from tourism, from really well-managed activities that are compatible and don't risk the area.
If you've just joined us this morning, we're speaking with Protect Ningaloo Director Paul Gamblin, talking about the breakthroughs that have recently been announced, putting on hold the explorations in the Exmouth Gulf and along Ningaloo Reef. In this post-COVID recovery time here in WA, Paul, how important is it that we continue to defend tourism locations such as Ningaloo Reef? I mean, our Premier has been pretty vocal in wandering out yonder and making sure that we are getting out and exploring and putting money back into our regional economies. And I imagine things like Ningaloo Reef are a massive draw card, particularly as we lead into warmer months and into school holidays.
Absolutely. And people have been flocking up to Ningaloo in record numbers as well. And we've already seen that. And lots of people who are going up there are really beginning to understand what we've been saying about the values of Exmouth Gulf in particular, and we've seen a real surge in support from that. So it's actually been really interesting from our perspective. People going up there for the first time or going back up there and falling in love all over again with the area. But what we really need to recognise is the tourism operators are still doing it tough. It's been a very difficult time for them, and they face significant uncertainty. And so what the last thing they need is greater uncertainty from the prospect of incompatible major industrial activity in Exmouth Gulf, which would also compromise the whole Ningaloo brand, the brand that's been developed over a long period of time now, and really returns such a lot to Australia generally. So it's really important for government to show some leadership and to make clear what kinds of activities will be promoted and acceptable in the area and which ones won't be. And that's good for everybody, including the big industrial players. They'll know this area is not an area that they should be proposing major projects around.
It's a total no-brainer. Around 2 years ago, we were actually joined by Tim Winton on Breakfast, and he was also talking about the importance of preserving locations and his work with Protect Ningaloo. As we look into this now new next phase, what is the next project for you folks? We've had a temporary hold on all things activity and industrialisation in that area. So what's your next focus and energy going towards?
Well, as you say, it's temporary, and so we're very much keeping a very close eye on it, building the awareness, I guess, of the community around the values of Exmouth Gulf and the threats that it faces from industrial projects, and there could be a series of those in the years to come. We're working very closely to understand what this assessment will be about and where the gaps in science are, and there are huge gaps in science. We know the place is important, but there are major gaps in understanding of how it works and which areas of greatest value. And so we are going to be engaging very much in that arena. We're very close to some of the leading scientists who work around Ningaloo and Exmouth Gulf as well. So we'll be participating and making sure that the community and independent science influences this process so that it is robust. And we believe if it is robust, it'll make clear what previous studies have shown, which is this area is of extraordinary global importance and is no place for heavy industry. So we'll be tracking that very closely. This is a respite in a way. It's given us a chance to really focus on the important values of the area. But this is by no means over. It's just encouraging, I have to say, and the support, the positive comments from the community that we've seen over the last few weeks on our social media, etc., has given us an enormous amount of encouragement that we're on the right path and we'll be pushing ahead.
Absolutely, and I think it's a sentiment that's definitely echoed by people listening, not just people who live around the Ningaloo area, but people from all across the state and the world, and we'll continue to support you in that endeavour. Paul, I know this is definitely not the last time we're going to speak with you, and we'll definitely be getting updated as this unfolds. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.